Triple M's Queensland only NRL podcast.
Hello, Marto, Margo and Dan here from Triple M Brisbane. You can hear us every weekday morning. We are 5:30 to 9 a.m. specialists on 104.5 Triple M. And we tackle the biggest issues and talk to the biggest stars in Queensland Rugby League. Or at least that's what we like to think anyway. This week we catch up with Broncos skipper Adam Reynolds. He's making his return from injury to play the Warriors over in New Zealand, minus five of his teammates who are out for Origin. Gordon Tallis reveals a feud he has with a former teammate, Corey Parker. This is a brand new feud. This is Gordy calling Corey out on something that he's been up to lately. And Mark Coyne relives his 1994 miracle try, while Marto reveals the incredible story behind the famous Billy Moore
Queenslander
call. Where did Queenslander start? We know it started with Billy, or did it? Find out on the podcast.
On this day in sport, thanks to 420 Pies, we've been there for it all. And they were there in 1994 when New South Wales were leading game one of the Origin Series for 75 minutes of the match. 5 minutes left. Blues held the lead 12-4. Dale Fritz got a little offload to Willie Carn, put him in beside the sticks. 1 minute on the clock. The Maroons were trapped, 20 out or so They started one of the greatest attacking raids in rugby league history.
Here's the big fella. Gets the pass on. Coyne. Coyne goes for the corner and gets the try. Queensland. It's a miracle.
Hey, that's where that comes from, by the way. You know, we play the celebration music on the...
Oh, yeah!
You might hear that a bit on Triple M.
Here's a bloke who might have heard it too many times. Mark Coyne.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Mark, obviously the 94 miracle try is one that, you know, people will relive and tell, you know, for the rest of your life. Did you ever do anything else outside of that, mate, that you want to be remembered for?
No, I don't think so, Margo. But it is funny, but because obviously I played 12 years and, you know, I played in a few grand finals, not successful, unfortunately, but probably in my top three memories, but I don't think it's probably number one.
Now, we were talking yesterday about the origin of the Queenslander call, which was the following year. Do you remember how that came about? What's your version of that story? Because there's a few different versions flying around, and Billy Moore sure has made a lot of money out of it.
Yeah, Billy's done pretty well over it. But to be fair, Billy was the one that, you know, that sort of talked that up. So basically, we sort of came together in that 95 series, and no Super League players could be picked because it was when that Super League war was going on. So we basically had a bunch of no names, and we're getting coached by Fatty Borton, who'd never coached before. So I think the Queenslander call just came from, you know, probably a guy called Choppy Close. He was Fatty's, you know, offsider, and he was our manager, and he talked a lot about the Queensland passion and what it meant to be a Queenslander. And it made a real difference to a lot of the young guys that came into the squad for that year. And then somehow, the Queenslander call just sort of came through in that first game, and I think we were only leading 2-0, and then I think we ended up with the final score was 2-0. So wasn't many tries being scored, but it was obviously a tremendous win for us with a bunch of guys that hadn't played before.
How did it change your life, the miracle try?
I certainly talk about it a lot. It's a nice thing to be remembered for. Obviously, as I said, I had a pretty long career, 12 years, but it's nice to be remembered for something that's such an iconic moment.
I know you went on to become one of Australia's leading businessmen over the last few years, but can I check your brain? Do you know who you beat in those last two tackles who were lying there disappointed when you scored?
Oh, I do, because I have spoken to Freddie about it before, and Freddie said he should have taken my head off.
Yes, that's one. Who was the other one?
I think it was Ben Elias, I think.
No, wasn't it Ricky Stewart? Was Ricky Stewart
there? Oh, it was Ricky, sorry. That's right. Benny was the one that kicked the, one of them kicked the corner post.
Oh, that's right. Came along and disappointed.
I think more importantly, who made more money? Billy Moore out of Queenslander or you out of Miracle Try, Mark?
Oh, I haven't got any money.
you married that Sydney girl, is that what you said?
Better.
The other thing our producer's trying to tell us, do you live next door to Gus Gould?
Yeah, I do. It drives me mad because this time of year, I've got an Australian flagpole.
Yeah.
And but for the period of origin, I put a Queensland flag up.
Nice.
Perfect.
That is nice.
So I've been doing it for about 25 years.
Oh, you're too good.
Hey, Mark, we mentioned Billy Moore.
Queenslander.
We're getting a bit of this on the show.
Queenslander.
It's some of our wonderful
Queenslander.
Possibly aggressive listeners. And here's Margo.
Would you like to be married to any of those women?
Give us your biggest and baddest Queenslander on the way out, Mark Coyne.
Queenslander.
Saturday afternoon in New Zealand, Broncos taking on the Warriors, down five players who are off in Origin camp. Probably better speak to the Broncos skipper.
Totally Workwear, Australia's largest supplier of corporate, industrial and safety workwear. With 17 stores throughout Brisbane and the Gold Coast, there's a store near you.
Here he is!
Well, we haven't spoken to him since this happened.
This is the concern right now. Adam Reynolds, they have called for the stretcher. So these are concerning scenes here.
Weren't they ever? And he's with us now. Reno, how are you, mate?
Doing well, thank you.
How's the head? You got a headache, bud?
No, I'm all good now.
What did training look like last week? I saw you. They had you one night on the news. You were just playing with a hula hoop. I didn't know what sort of therapy that was.
Warming the hips up.
Going over my ABCs and 1, 2, 3s. No, I was just doing a little bit. Obviously, when you get a head knock, they take you through a little bit of a protocol, getting you back to training. The hula hoop was just a bit of a muck around. I seen the cameras are on and...
Good one. That's excellent.
A little bit, yeah.
Reno, can you talk us through what happened? Because we were all sitting there in our lounge rooms watching the moment where you went in for the try and you grabbed at your head as you slid across the grass.
Very soft. No, the head was all right. It was more my neck. I lost a bit of feeling in my hand at the time and I had a burning pain down my arm. So the ground was spinning. But as soon as I had that feeling in my arm, the doctor got over there or someone got over there pretty quick and told me not to move, so...
Reno, just can I go on to a captaincy-type thing and team leader of the Broncos? Margo, what were we talking about yesterday? This is particularly what I want to talk about.
Adam, we have noticed while the boys have gone into camp that there seems to be a few Brisbane Broncos players sporting the man bag. I'm not sure if you saw the big photo.
Well, let's name them. Walsh and Cobbo.
Yeah, these young kids these days, I don't know what goes through their head.
All right, let's go straight to it. I want to check a couple of the other players. Would Thomas Flegler have a man bag?
No chance.
Absolutely.
Patrick
not.
Carrigan?
Questionable.
Oh, don't.
I said the same thing. I said, I reckon he'd be a flip-flopper.
What do they put in their man bag?
I think they put their phone and wallet in there.
Durries, their lighter.
The traditional.
Yeah, I'm old school. I like the pockets. I'm not too much of a man bag man. But
maybe that's where they put their watermelon vapes.
All right. Well, can you crack down on it? When they get back from Origin Camp, can you just tell them they're bringing the game and their club into disrepute and their nation?
Will do.
Reno, ten days for the head knock. Are you back this weekend?
Yeah, I'm good to go.
You good to go?
Today with the team. Yeah,
you've got Carrigan out, Flegler, Walsh, Cobbo. How do you prepare for this weekend?
Obviously, there's a lot of young boys. Some that haven't played first grade in a long time. They get an opportunity, and you know, to see them buzzing around training excites the other boys as well. So
Tristan Saylor is one of those young players you talked about. Does he talk about as much about himself in front of others as his father?
At the start, he was a bit quiet, but he's starting to show his last name a bit there.
His family DNA. Renault, can I just go back to the man bag thing for a second?
Marto can't get over it.
I can't believe that that's what happens in the modern game, but that's okay. But one of our listeners, after we were talking about it yesterday, brought up the fact that if you have a man bag, you are very likely to be one of those DOS celebrators, dick-on-shoulder celebrators.
Have we explained the DOS concept to you, Reno?
Is that the one where you jump up and,
and your groin's on the shoulder and sometimes it ends up in someone's ear?
It's a big...
I'd hate for pain to get up on my shoulder.
Oh, God. Jesus.
That'll too be.
Don't step on his shoes either, Reno. We know that.
That is an image. Oh, shit. Reno, you know the media guy at the Broncos, when he says, how'd you go with Triple M, can you not mention the man bag? He may ban us. Is that okay? Or the dick on shoulder.
Well, we know what we're getting Reno for Christmas. A man bag. We'll get Totally Workwear to make us a Reno man bag.
We'll get you a satchel, Reno, a little bit more manly. Indiana Jones has one.
Beautiful.
Australia's largest supplier of corporate, industrial and safety workwear. No mention of man bags, but we'll sort it out. 17 stores throughout Brisbane and the Gold Coast is a store near you. Adam Reynolds, captain of the Broncos. Go well against the Warriors Saturday night, 7:30 across the Dutch. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We're about to be joined by a mystery guest on the show, Marto. It's to do with something. I have some audio here that I can play whenever you're ready, sir.
Yeah, I received a text message from this gentleman, and I will call him a gentleman. Remember how we've been talking about the man bags at the Origin teams?
New to the team, Reece Walsh.
He's got a handbag.
He's got a Louis Vuitton.
Oh, my.
Man bag worth $3,850
hanging
around
bags?
His neck.
You were quite disparaging, Margot, this behaviour. You weren't on board. You didn't like it.
Well, I read the text message out.
Yep.
Who sent you a message?
Oh, Gordy, tell us.
Oh.
Corey had a Louis Vuitton over-the-shoulder man bag on last night at Fox Sports.
It's a satchel. It's different.
Oh, satchel.
Oh, yeah. What? Indiana Jones has one, yeah? No, no, satchels are different.
It's,
it's
like a briefcase style. Yeah, that he puts his iPad and his computer and stuff in. Gordy was in here the other day wearing Gucci slides. Calm down.
Who was?
Gordy.
Was
he? He had a pair of Gucci slides.
All right. That's maybe why he's not picking up.
You can get Corey on. Ring Corey. I'm happy to defend Corey's bag versus the likes of Reese Walsh's bag. Yeah.
Look who we got here.
Here we go.
Corey Parker.
Cause.
I don't know where to go with this when Snowy says I've been thrown under the bus. Defend yourself. Let's go.
Oh, you'll be pleased to know, Corey, because he often gets messages saying, oh, Marsh threw you under the bus this morning. It wasn't from me. I'm actually coming to your defence. Dan and Mardo have stitched you up.
It wasn't me. It was Gordon Tallis who sent me a text message. And I'll get straight to the point, Cos. Do you know how we were talking about the man bags of the Origin teams and your wife has said they were soft and everything? Gordon Tallis has said, Corey had a Louis Vuitton over-the-shoulder man bag on last night at Fox Sports.
Hang on, it was over-the-shoulder. We've been hearing it's more like a briefcase, Corey. Mm. Have you had that over your shoulder or around your neck like Reese Walsh at any time, sir?
Let's just clarify a few things. What Gordon Tallis said was correct. When you're a businessman
who travels every weekend.
Very different in that regard. But Gordy was right. I do have a...
It does have a strap, does it, Corey?
It's got a strap. It's not a purse. It's not like a...
have you ever tried to wear it around your neck like a necklace?
Oh, no.
Would you say it's a man bag? Like, is that how you would reference it? Or is it a satchel? Or is it like a briefcase?
Yeah, well, it's not a briefcase because it doesn't have locks, but it's not a satchel.
Oh, hang on. Gordon Tallis is joining us now. Gordy, we're talking about footy players and man bags. Corey's on the line as well, Gordy. Was it over the shoulder, Gordy? We can confirm that was over
it
the shoulder.
It was over the shoulder, yes. It wasn't over the shoulder bag.
Not across the body, Gordy, like they're wearing them like an esche style.
It's got a big strap, so you can wear it whichever way you want, but it's exactly the same, isn't it?
But isn't it more a briefcase-y size thing?
It's big enough to put a computer in, put it that
it's
way.
It's called a messenger bag, is what it's I'm just on the Louis Vuitton website.
Hold on. A footy player with a laptop. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
A footy player carries a computer around.
Some do.
Hang on. I retired 7 years ago, Gordon.
He's a commentator who does research for his job.
He called himself a businessman before. Would you be happy with that, Gordy?
You got to watch Netflix on something.
Exactly.
You've got an Apple iPad in there, and then instead of just putting it in your bag and pulling it out, you got to get. Yeah, okay, I get it.
There was a claim made by Margot that you had a pair of what sort of slides?
Gucci slides. Are you familiar with some Gucci slides?
No, never had Gucci slides.
Never had Gucci slides.
Oh, Margot, telling lies about you on air, Gordy. You can sue her for defamation.
No, Margot, because I don't make them in size 13.
No, they say about a man with big shoes can't wear Gucci slides, apparently.
All right, are we all happy? Are we okay, Margot?
Hold on, we've got two Origin legends and we're talking about man bags. Yeah. We've just wasted both of these gentlemen's time.
Sorry, gents. Triple M.
Queenslander! Listen, we spoke about this earlier. What was that noise then, Margot?
That was a female yelling out Queenslander.
Queenslander! We discussed it. Thank you. Then we discussed which one of those won. I can't even remember. But
one won.
Queenslander!
That was Margot. I made the claim that Margot was the greatest female to
yell at
Queensland.
You said no one else can do it like you.
Queenslander!
They took up the challenge. We're going to do it again in the next week. So get ready, girls. Or if you've got a partner who loves yelling at the kids, put it to good use.
They're ringing already. Mez, Lyndall, Claire, Tanya, Natalie. They all want to be a part of it.
I think that's Matchbox 20.
Oh, okay.
Get in an orderly queue. And then, of course... we have Billy Moore.
Queenslander.
That's what I want to talk about here. That's the whole story of Queenslander and Billy Moore. Billy Moore's virtually made his fortune on that call. Would you agree? From 1995,
What sort of money would he have made out of it?
All those Forex ads.
Oh,
he goes round talking. It's the centerpiece of his public speaking. So he makes his $3,000 or whatever he makes going around just telling the story of Queenslander. Around 95, though. Won all in the series, and they were
coming
down the tunnel, and he yelled it out. Fatty Vorton, now I'd never heard this story till recently, and I wasn't told at the Legends Lunch, so I can't actually tell it. He tells the story because he was the coach there in 95.
Yes.
So I think he was the one that unleashed it and said, righto, let's use this Queenslander call. in 1987, and I'm going to have to read this to get a correct light. The Queenslander call can be traced back to 1987, all right? There was one all. They've got one all. They had a meeting. Wayne Bennett, coach at that stage. Yes, he was the coach back in the 80s.
Wow.
We need something. This is what he said to the team. We need a call to arms. This is Fatty talking. Let's put our thinking caps on. This is Wayne Bennett, sorry. And come up with something. So Greg Dowling yells out, what about oranges? Good one, dishhead. So he yells out oranges. So everyone just fires up. Oh, oranges.
Oranges, what like?
Orange team.
Mm. And everyone went, lemon.
Like the halftime orange.
That'll do. And Trevor Gilmeister apparently goes, what about peaches? Peaches!
They're obsessed with the fruit, these blokes.
Hold on. Alfie then goes, what about kumquats? And I don't know whether he was taking
kumquats!
The mickey.
Kumquats!
What about a persimmon?
All right. According to Vorton, Langer's suggestion was met with disdain by Bennett. Bennett goes, we're not yelling out effing kumquats when we're defending on our try line.
So this is to get them all ramped up. And to fire up.
Yeah, to fire up.
Why did oranges come from it?
That's
bizarre.
Greg Dowling for you. I don't know.
Sweet potato!
He's got... and then...
kiwi fruit!
Broccoli!
That's enough out of you.
That's a good one.
Webkey.
Cauliflower!
And then Fatty goes on. I'm sitting next to Alf and I thought, and Fatty's claiming it here, we're Queenslanders. What about Queenslander? And Bennett said, that's it. That's our call to arms, 1987.
Oh, so Fatty suggested it, but Billy Moore actually did it.
No, but then Fatty was coaching Billy Moore and told him to do it.
Queenslander!
Okay, that's enough.
I love that one.
Why did they start with fruit and then the first suggestion that wasn't fruit, they went, that's much better
than
all those shit.
87. Alfie's only like 18 or 19. How did he even know? And he comes from Ipswich.
Kumquats.
What a peculiar thing.
Of course.